Well, that was to wake you guys up a little bit. It's the special effects. Pardon me for the noise. We have had a great time. We have been ministered by the word. It has given me the privilege to be able to close this conference. It has been the great of joy for my life. I hope it has been the same for you. We're going to come to an end and talk about this conclusion in regards to the characteristics of the herald of God. And with that, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to see five verses that Pastor Roberto Sanchez talked about. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to focus on these five characteristics. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be examining the verses from 1 to 5. Verses 1 to 5 of 2 Timothy 4. Of chapter 4. During World War II, the Normandy landing of June 6, 1944, was a critical operation led by General Eisenhower. The officers and soldiers involved in the invasion were carefully selected for their skills, bravery, and leadership abilities. Those sent on the most dangerous missions, such as the paratroopers of the 101st Division, were known for their high endurance and intensive training. These men were prepared not only physically, but yet in preparation and execution of the invasion. Many officers, they were not only so prepared physically, but also mentally, to be able to mentally face the most extreme combat circumstances. In the preparation and execution of the invasion, many officers and soldiers appealed to Eisenhower. He was very well respected throughout the whole nation to ensure the fulfillment of orders and maintain high morale of the whole soldiers. The authority and leadership of Eisenhower were fundamental in uniting the troops and ensuring that every member understood the critical importance of their mission, that all of them had to submit. The obedience and determination shown by the soldiers showed a great victory, which led to the beginning of the end of World War II. This shows a great appeal to a higher authority was crucial not only for maintaining the discipline, but also for instilling regarding the difficult time in which they faced. They didn't have Eisenhower's shadow and his honor that they owed to him, the details, they probably would have not won the battle. It is the same. The life of God's herald should be characterized by a person that pays attention and obedient to what his authority expects of. With that in mind, please, once again, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. The word of the Lord says this: I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all with great patience and teaching. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teacher in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Lord, thank you what you have done and what you are doing throughout this time and this conference. Give you thanks for the brothers for letting me borrow their ears through your word, through your spirit, that you'll be ministering to their lives. We depend so much 100% upon you. We want to abandon our lives, our minds to your hands. Minister to us that we may be able to listen, comprehend, understand, to obey you. Thank you, because you are good and your mercies are new forever. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Brothers, here in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, we're going to find four questions that describe the characteristics of God's herald. Four questions we're going to analyze that describe the characteristics of God's herald. These are the following questions if you want to write them down. As we advance, we're going to take a notice of them. We're going to talk about number one, who sends a herald? Number one, who sends the herald? Number two, what is the herald sent to do? What is the herald sent to do? Third question, why is the herald sent? Why is the herald sent? And last question, how does the herald remain steadfast? How does the herald remain steadfast? Without further ado, let's start with the first question with this last session. Who sends the herald? We're going to see in verse 1 of chapter 4 what we just read. Go to your Bibles. The Apostle Paul writing to the Timothy, we can read with confidence. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. This is how it starts off in chapter 4, in verse 1. The verse that is translated, solemnly charge you, is used to exhort with great matter, great importance. In this letter, Paul uses this verb to inform Timothy of a crucial homework as a herald of God. Not only does he give him instruction, but he also gives him serious urgency of his mission. Paul tells Timothy to use exhortation not only so by the understanding and knowledge of the Apostle Paul. Paul's not telling Timothy to obey because he is the father of the faith of Timothy. No. Rather, it is because God is involved in this mission. That is why Paul makes clear who is the one who gives a mission, who is the one that's sending him, who's in charge. Look in your Bible. Verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Paul's there. Paul uses this phrase, who is the one that's in charge? the only fundamental way to be able to understand this conviction in which Timothy can understand is having remind himself that it is not a man that was sending him to a mission, nor the authority of Paul. Rather, it was the authority of God the Father and Christ Jesus his Son. And if that was insufficient, he points to this authority so that Timothy pays attention. That those who him that is asking him with this charge is him, Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. It is as Paul is putting in front of Timothy, God. Not a church. Not a denomination. Not a pastor. Not a leader. Not a family member. Not a father in the faith. Not an apostle. But rather God. So when Paul does this affirmation, Timothy doesn't have another way he has to submit. This is the attitude that you and I have to have. When God sends something, we cannot negotiate. We can't say, God, wait 1 minute. You can't say, wait, let me go bury my father. You can't say, no, let me go and get my inheritance. We see this in the Gospels. What was it that they told Christ? Let me go and take care of this who is blind. Jesus spoke sincerely. He said, let the dead bury their own dead. He said, you come and follow me. Timothy doesn't have another option. The purpose of the herald is that they have God as their founder. Especially when it comes to the judgment in all the people. There's no more to say. We can close the Bible and leave. When we know that God is involved of the mission that he has sent, there's no other option than to obey him. On the contrary, we're going to have to give an account to God in the day of judgment. This is not only so for the herald, but also for those who are being called to repent. The seriousness of the calling calls to urgency to the calling. This was clear in Paul's life. Whenever he wanted to appeal to God's supreme authority in important matters, he used this phrase, as in Acts 23, verse 1. Acts 23, verse 1. We read it in narrative. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. That is appealing to the supreme authority of God, the omniscience of God. 2 Corinthians 7:12, Paul writes about a situation of a discipline in the church, saying that he acted in the sight of God. In other words, God is the one who judges. God is the one who is before all things, in all circumstances, of all life itself. The herald is called to understand this and to grasp it and to take hold of it. That he who is being sent, the one who sent him into the mission, is God himself. Beloved brother, a herald is characterized by having a clear understanding, not about some emotion or the circumstance of the moment. Heather, being a man of God, a herald of God, must be characterized by who is being sent, understanding that God is the one who is sending him to this mission. By Christ Jesus also and the Holy Spirit, who are the creation of all things. Brothers, there's no greater authority in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. Our focus must be upon him. And Paul had to know this to be able to send Timothy as a herald. And you and I have to always have this in mind, that he who sent us to be able to go and proclaim the truth, the gospel, to be able to understand our role as spoken in our first session. The Great Commission is not only so for us, but for everyone who is in Christ. As a herald of God, we must understand that our mission comes directly from him. Having this in mind, let's reflect together on the next question, number two. Question number two that describes God's herald. Second question, what is the herald sent to do? What is the herald sent to do? We continue in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Observe in your Bible. Verse 2, it continues to say, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. We saw this, how there are five imperatives, and they are this to instruct Timothy as the herald of God. We heard this already, and the first imperative is to preach. A herald to preach the word, not to play, not to entertain, not to go and please people. You're not going to go and be a small little rock of gold. Rather, it is to preach the word of God. This is a great clarity to preach the message. This is the mandate, a commandment. It's a constant, the importance of the continuance to proclaim the gospel at all moments. All the times, during all the time you have to proclaim the gospel, it has to be part of your life at all moments that you have to share the gospel. The clarity of this verb, it is not a temporary verb. It is not because I am emotional today. No, it's not that way. Rather, it's a responsibility. Primarily, number one, constant of a herald. This helps us remember the words of Jesus in Mark 16, just like in Matthew 3, where he speaks about John the Baptist as a herald. I believe if we were to compare the herald of God that preached the gospel, that preached about repentance with the modern preachers, they would not be able to qualify. But rather, that man was sent to proclaim the gospel of repentance. The other verbs, imperatives that we find, how preaching should be led, how it should be led also, that verb is the remaining of the rest of the imperatives. That he must reprove. To reprove. Not something momentum, not something momentous, but he must always be disposable, always with a great opportunity. Whether there's opportunity or no opportunity, whether even if people are laughing at you or not, even if people are laughing at you and saying, hey, you're... Even if they're laughing at you, your family members laughing at you, and they may say, oh, you look sick. We're not at church. You don't have to do that all the time. Logically, I'm not telling you to go and preach the gospel at your job. Just start preaching. No, because you get fired for not doing your job. We're asking that God may open the door and that you may insist more with the scripture, that the people will end up saying, this person just talks about the word of God. He only has one message and he is already killing me. And that's what's going to happen with those that are not saved. They are going to be distant from you because you're going to be insisting with the word of God. The next imperative is rebuke. The other is rebuke. It's a great urgency when it comes to great necessity. The herald is called to be able to show action in a corrective way when there's error. With love, yes, but with truth. Titus 1. Go to Titus 1. Titus 1. Titus 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul to his other sons in the faith, this testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. To reprove. Same word that is used when Paul talks about reproof, talks about to correct the error. It is not only so to correct the error, but also ready to be able to rebuke and correct. It is not to throw rocks at them and run. It's not, I throw two rocks and I'll see you later. No, it's not that way. A herald must be ready to be able to reprove when something not is correct, and ready to rebuke when they are not choosing to repent, but with love. There's some brothers that say, I have a problem with the brother, with the family member. I say one thing, they say the other thing. I don't know what to do. And the first thing I say, how much are you praying for him? Do you have callus in your kneecaps as you're praying for him or her? Or are you just throwing rocks at him or her? Which could be true. How much are you praying for the salvation of that family member? If you're going to reprove or rebuke that person that's in error, you have to do it in love. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he keeps saying, verse we find other two imperatives to rebuke and exhort. What they do, these two imperatives, is that they show more details of what each herald must do. It implies an implication, a correction with love. With a knee bent. When we see in Luke 17 and other and the other Gospels and how you are supposed to respond to a brother who is sinning against you, that you are to rebuke, but forgive them. You don't want to reprove nor rebuke. You don't want to just to be the one who is in the reason. You're looking for the forgiveness of your brother's sin and also repentance that they would be right with the Lord. It is the same with those who have not believed in the gospel. You want them to repent. If that is not a true motivation of your heart, then examine yourself while you're doing this. If your motive is not for repentance and for the glory of Christ, then examine yourself. There's something in your heart that is not correct, and you have to settle accounts. You have to get right with the Lord. As the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and expose if there is anything wicked in me." Because he who wants to be a true herald of God desires that there will be salvation of sinners. A person that is exhorting must understand that it takes a dimension of encouragement, speaking strong, but also encouragement. It's not always going to be the same answer. The commandments of God are perfect. The word of God is perfect. The psalmist says it. And what we are looking for is a correct reaction before the word of God. We want the salvation of the souls. We are not the ones that save. We can only get so far in sharing the gospel. But we are also not looking for stone-throwing ministry. Paul tells the church of Thessalonica, let us encourage each other with biblical words, with that the herald ministers to the people of God, but also exhorts them and rebukes those that are in sin. Brothers, with these imperatives that we find of chapter 4, they paint a portrait of the real responsibility that the herald of God has, and it reflects the importance of preaching and how it should be done in an urgent way, in an effective way, with the correct motives, with the right heart, with the correct direction. And it all comes from the text, not from human self. Well, now, let us go to the third question. We're going to the third question of this afternoon, this evening. Why is the herald sent? Why is the herald sent? Why is he sent? Verse 3 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy. For the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Now, Paul warns Timothy about future time when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. They're not going to be able to support sound doctrine, that is, correct teaching based on the truth of the gospel. We have seen that nowadays, haven't we? It's nothing new. The people fill the arenas when they hear that it's going to be that they're going to be healed, or when they hear that God's going to give them prosperity. People filled places where preachers are deceiving them with false preaching. And this is what Paul is warning Timothy about. He was being sent as a herald of God because those future times were around the corner, right by the door, and they are here now at our time. Sadly, instead of looking for the correct, they look for teachers to tell them what they want to hear, personal desires, this tendency to reject the truth in favor of more attractive. It is incorrect. It's a deviation from biblical truth. We do not do things because they work or people like it. Rather, we do what God has commanded. That is what is herald. That is what God has called every one of us to do. Now, Paul uses specific words that he says that they will not endure sound doctrine. That sound doctrine refers to teaching free from error and fundamental for spiritual growth, that which man does not like. When he talks about their own desires, he's talking about lustful desires that strays away people from the truth. And we see this daily, don't we? In secular world, is that passions, desires in the fallen humanity, sinful of each person? Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians 5:16, please. Galatians 5:16. Chapter 5. Verse 16. An exhortation by the Apostle Paul to the church that was in Galatia. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you do not do the things that you want. It is a constant battle of human. And that battle is being won by people who desire to win whatever they want that satisfy their own flesh. And the Apostle Paul knew and understood that this was going to come. And what he keeps saying in this text, from 2 Timothy 4, they will turn aside to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. not true biblical truths during the time of the Apostle Paul, and also we see this today. People who believe that they are ministers of God, but rather they are synagogues of Satan. Peter is very emphatic with those type of people. I recommend that you read the whole letter of 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter for just one moment. 2 Peter. Observe how he makes a distinction about those people and what Paul tells Timothy. They are right at the door, those that are preaching false teachings. They follow fables in which we have seen with our very own eyes. The rest of the chapter, from chapter 1, he speaks about the greater experience of the transfiguration, that the most important thing is the word of God, the prophecy, more securely. But for these false teachers, these who are fraudulent, as the Apostle Paul was pointing to Timothy, it was more profitable for them, these fable myths, for these false teachers. The deceitfulness, the emotionalism, Paul tells Timothy the importance to hold fast to the sound doctrine. That is the only way in which we are able to maintain the integrity of the scripture. In all generations, in all time, all believers have to be able to be aware of any type of teaching that can excite their emotions. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun that is new. The same thing that was happening to Timothy, it is what's happening to the herald of God, to us. That is why it is important what is the characteristics of each herald. A herald of God cannot be plain, because he is sent with the urgency of a mission that is between life and death. In our contemporary time, the warning of Paul, we live in an era where there's so much accessible information. We were able to find information about anything regarding any ministry. Before, we had to wait. But now, if we do a click of a church, we find any sort of sermons online. Sadly, this leads to a lot of people to follow their own desires, their own perspective, personals. They say, I don't like how this brother preaches. I like how this one preaches. I really like this one. This one really makes me feel emotional. It makes me come out my tears. I remember a lot of years ago, there was a brother in Christ that had a mom of this dear brother, and that she saw Joe Osteen. She said, "Look at this man of God with this big smile." And I was in the beginning of my salvation with this, I was in true biblical solid preaching, but even I knew, I said, he's faking his smile. And I asked her, she said, it's because he's more comic, he's more calm, quiet. I don't like him over here because they speak really loud. The most important thing is the herald. The most important thing is what the herald is proclaiming, the gospel, the Bible. Not emotionalism, but rather conviction that leads us to repentance. Believers have to examine it very closely, the sound doctrine, and must be completely founded upon the Word of God, not on popular ideas or accepted things of the culture. We must resist the temptation of following those myths, and we have to remain our integrity, faith in Christ. We have seen these three characteristics. Number one, who sends a herald? Number two, what is the herald sent to do? Number three, why is the herald sent? Last question. Number four, how does the herald remain steadfast? How does the herald stay fast? And we see this in chapter 5, in verse 5 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is what Paul tells Timothy. Paul is giving instruction to Timothy to remain faithful. The word sober in Greek is to be alert and clear-minded, not intoxicated. Because when one is intoxicated, their mind is foggy. Their thoughts are foggy and unclear. This term also implies a balanced and moderate life. What a person knows what to do, when not to speak, when to remain quiet. That is a person that is sober. In what? In everything. And above all things, especially the Word of God. Paul emphasizes the importance of self-control and moderation. As a clear mind is essential for making wise decisions and effectively carrying out ministry in whichever area you're placed in. It is important that your life is based on the Word of God, that you soberly permit that in the midst of difficulties, you permit that God does all his work in your life. The herald is not thinking about what's going on at that moment, but rather he prays to him who is in control. Additionally, Paul exhorts Timothy to endure hardship. Look at the text. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. This is a warning that the ministry life, because there's going to be hardship, that it's not going to be your best life, because that is a lie, saying that you're going to have your best life now. This word that's translated to endure hardship is to resist the hardships. Observe another text that goes hand to hand in James chapter 5. James 5:13. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? They must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. It tells us that there is affliction and how we are to handle each form of affliction. What sober mind is to be able to support our afflictions in this life, to know that Christ already defeated this world. This call to endure problems, this call to endure hardships, implies that the Christian service to be able to handle adversities and oppositions, even in the midst of family members. People in our family are going to oppose what we do, because we are serving the brothers and sisters, but we must support the afflictions. When the apostles were whipped because they were happy that they were able to be able to support or to be able to be part of what happened to Christ, when's the last time you gave thanks to God to be able to go through what you went through? It's because, like Timothy, like every believer, they're called to persevering into the same varying strength that God gives. Finally, Paul urges Timothy to fulfill your ministry. That's what he says. Lastly, to the working evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This to fulfill your ministry suggests completing fully or accomplishing all what God has called to do Timothy. This call implies total and diligent commitment that Timothy had. You and I, brothers, are called to live the same way. By fulfilling his ministry, one may say, brother, Paul is writing to Timothy that was in Ephesus, and the gospel is for all believers to proclaim the gospel to everyone. We will only be able to fulfill the ministry when we are speaking the word of God, the truth of God. We must maintain in doing this. Paul is telling Timothy, this is how you're going to have to die. Just as you were born again by the Blessed Spirit, regenerated, you must keep on sharing the gospel until the end. The same way, we are called to live alert, sober, and persevere despite the difficulty what God has called us to do. Our responsibility as herald of God, brothers and sisters, we have seen these four questions, 2 Timothy 4:1-5. These four questions that we have realized have helped us to understand, to be able to describe the characteristics of the herald of God. Now the question is, what are we going to do with this? In spite of all that we have learned in this conference, what are we going to do? What's going to be our reaction? What conviction are going to guide our lives? But before answering that, let's go back to the example. let's go back to Eisenhower. Even though he was respected, even though he had a great authority in the government and the military, he was not always triumphant. During the Battle of the Bulge in World War II in December 1944, German forces launched a surprise offensive through the dense Ardennes forest in Belgium, catching Allied forces off guard. Although Eisenhower had been warned of the possibility of a German attack, Allied forces were not adequately prepared and the Germans managed to penetrate deeply into Allied lines. The battle resulted in significant casualties and a temporary setback for the Allied forces before they finally managed to contain and reverse the offensive. What does this event show us? That man, human, fails. The best general, the general of generals, had also their faults, their errors. This event showed the difficulty of foreseeing and preparing for all contingencies in war, even for such an experienced strategist as Eisenhower. But unlike Eisenhower, our example to follow has already triumphed on the cross of Calvary, and at the end of history, he triumphed without doubts, defeating Satan. He never sinned. He never failed. He will never fail. He is the one who calls us to be heralds of his ministry. Despite of our errors, he does not fail. He has no error. For him to be the glory and the praise and the majesty through all generations. Beloved brothers and sisters, as true believers and children of God, we need to maintain a clear and focused mind on Christ. No, it's not just for the pastor, neighbor, or the day of the conference, or the next day of the conference. We must always hold fast until the end of times. A true herald of God will always live in the conviction that he or she has to serve God, having this in mind, that the Lord will call him or her home, or until they stand before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful time in your word. Though we feel not worthy, not prepared to fulfill what you demand of us, the qualities and the characteristics of the herald sent that you have sent in this world, we recognize that you are the authority that you have sent us. Help us that we will grasp the qualities of our ministry of evangelism, preaching, teaching, service, prayer. Help us that we will not faint. Help us to be diligent every time we are before anyone, remembering the sacrifice of Christ. Give us the strength to be able to share your gospel, your word. We ask you these things for the glory of your name, and we ask you, and that we ask that your will be done, and also in our lives, as it is done in heaven and on earth. Thank you for this conference. May you keep on ministering to our lives in this day. And may you please take us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen.